Thank you for joining today's Fall 2015 Ask the Expert podcast series. I'm Christy Cole with ILSA, and I'm here with Andy Jerzyk, Chief Information Officer at Seyfarth Shaw LLP, and we're talking about how to make our increasingly mobile workforce work. Thank you for joining us, Andy.
Thanks, Christy. Glad to be here.
I'd like to start by asking, what best practices or policy changes should organizations implement when moving toward a mobile workforce model?
I think there's a number of policies and best practices associated with that. And I would define it from our perspective as telecommuting more than mobile. We do, I think, a little bit more than some organizations do. And what that means is we provide working capability for our employees to work from home 4 or 5 days a week, and then the policies associated with cultural integration and interaction that support that mobile telecommuting style. So the technology is really the easy part of it. The hard part of it is all the cultural changes and policies and leadership changes necessary to still maintain a sense of culture in the organization while still being productive.
What data and other reasoning can be used to convince firm management that allowing people to work remotely will actually work?
We did two things. We did a ingress and egress analysis of our building access for all employees at our largest location in Chicago. And one of the things that was eye-opening for us is on any given day, only 30% of the population was in the office at any given time. So there's a significant portion of the population that is out meeting with clients, working with clients, traveling. And when you take a look at expenses from our industry's perspective, you know, people obviously are the most expensive. And the next largest expense we all deal with is space. And so we use that as an opportunity to reduce our space in Chicago significantly by one third and still support the entire workforce. So that's really substantial savings for our organization. And one of the areas that I think is untapped for our industry, you know, everybody went through the downturn and made all kinds of cuts, but not necessarily all those were smart cuts. And this is what one of those things that I think is a smart cut that still provides productivity for the organization with substantial savings, and I think enhances the culture and the morale of the organization.
Let's switch gears here a bit. If you think about the ideal work environment of the future, does everyone work from home with the law firm maintaining a small office space? Will the large downtown office remain? What does your perfect picture for long-term success look like?
I think it's a combination of all of that. When you take into account mobility, you need to be able to perform your job and various aspects of your job at different times at different places. I have no problem giving up an office and just having an area that I can use while I'm visiting offices, while I'm meeting with my team, while I'm doing things that would bring the teams together for interaction. I think services in a conference center are extremely important that are easy to use and easy to access so that you can quickly grab a conference room, get on a teleconference, a video conference, join meetings easily with collaboration tools that we have on the desktop. I get the sense of work is kind of permeating to wherever you are, and the better tools you have to do that will help your workforce be more effective going forward.
We've touched on a few things so far, but what else needs to change for law firms to create a better enabled remote workforce?
Culture. It's really a polarizing topic. When I talk to people about it, there are people that are just vehemently opposed, and I think that's generational. There's different views based on different generations and what they want to do and how they want to do it. But you know, the baby boomers just believe that you need to be in the office and the only way to work is in the office. But, you know, it's really possible to be successful at telecommuting and still maintaining a culture and not being in the office. I think it will continue to be polarizing as generations traverse our workforce. But I think you're going to see more and more of it as the millennials mature and adopt it.
And one last question for you. How do you maintain the same level of productivity and collaboration with a remote workforce as compared to when everyone works in the office?
Well, I look at it in two ways. We when you're in the office, you have moments of interaction that interrupt your day and productivity associated with that. The interaction piece is still important, I think, from a cultural perspective. And that interaction, I think, gets, from our perspective, from a telecommuting perspective, is condensed into a day. So if a normal person is in the office Monday through Friday, and you have occasional interactions with your work team and people in your department, that takes up, in my opinion, you know, the entirety of a day. And so when we have people telecommuting, when we bring them into the office, that day in the office is FaceTime. It's not productivity time. It's FaceTime. It's cultural. It's idea generation. It's in a conference room. It's, you know, having a pizza luncheon just as a get together and to do those types of things. Now, from a productivity perspective, when you consider that and you're telecommuting and you're working from home, you're not interrupted as much, so you stay on task longer. From my perspective, I get up in the morning a lot earlier and I start working a lot earlier. I don't have to jump on a train. I don't have to commute. I don't have to worry about getting all dressed up. When I go to lunch, I go to my fridge and I find a sandwich. I eat it quick and I come back to work. And then I usually stay on longer. I don't feel bad about doing it. And then I take care of my FaceTime meetings on the days that I go into the office. We find that people have no problem putting in that extra time because they would normally be doing it commuting or what have you. And it helps morale. It helps you in situations at home. It helps with hiring a more diverse workforce. You know, some people may have challenges getting into the office, but are very talented. So I think it's a very positive experience and very productive. From a management perspective, it's easy to determine whether or not your employees are productive. When you have more than one person working for you, you can kind of sore thumb the person that's really not pulling their weight. But in addition to that, we have tools that we can bring to bear that would monitor productivity of an individual if necessary. I mean, really don't have to pursue that route regularly. It's a rare event that we would have to monitor somebody that way.
That brings our time to an end. So I'd like to thank our listeners. We appreciate you joining us. Definitely check out our other Ask the Expert podcasts. And Andy, I'd like to extend a big thank you for sharing your time and input today.
My pleasure, Christy. It was nice chatting.